First, let's meet Indrani Mukherjee from the University of New South Wales, where she's a senior lecturer in geology.
Why are you worried about the ability of Australia to handle all these rare earths that we are being asked for?
Well, it's because I have seen the decline in the popularity of geosciences before my eyes in the last 10 years that I've been in Australia. So the reason I left India to come to Australia was because of its world-class reputation in geology. And right before my eyes, I have seen that go really, really down. Not just that the popularity has declined, alongside that, we have seen geology departments either shrink or being completely wiped out from universities. And the reason I'm worried, and it's an understatement, I'm actually really concerned that governments are signing billion-dollar deals for rare earths, critical elements, in the hope that they're going to find a critical minerals deposit. It doesn't work that way. My concern is, who exactly is going to find these critical minerals?
We don't have enough geophysicists anymore.
Well, geophysicists or geologists, so there's no branch of geoscience that's a critical minerals branch. Lots of different sub-disciplines within the broader field of geoscience will feed into a particular mineral deposit exploration. So geophysics, geochemistry, you need structural geology to understand the overall structure of the area where these mineral deposits are.
By the way, what's your speciality?
I'm a geochemist. So I look at the chemistry of ancient rocks, in particular sediment-hosted mineral deposit. Commodities of interest would be zinc, copper, both of which are strategic metals, and help the minerals industry to better explore by devising mineralization vectors from the data that we collect.
And what's this rock you've brought with you? It's quite large. It's red.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because geologists are so worried about losing out that we always talk about critical elements. There is more to geology than just critical elements. I'm holding in front of you 3.5 billion-year-old stromatolite. This is the most conclusive evidence of the origins of life on our planet. Our planet, we've got 4.56 billion years history. By the way, that understanding, that same history is going to help us explore for critical elements that politicians and everyone else just uses those words, including the media. It's everywhere in the news.
Let me hold it. I've never held anything. 3.5 billion.
This is from our own backyard in Western Australia.
Western Australia. Oh, gosh. Because there are some elements there that are even older. You can still find them, can't you?
Absolutely. And we were just talking about with the students that this is what will enable us to understand how microbial life in particular, because ancient Earth had... I know everyone's so fascinated with dinosaurs and everything big, but really life back then was very microscopic, and it's very hard for them to be preserved in the rock record like macroscopic fossils. But they do leave behind these beautiful layered structures. So that's what you can see here. This is like a time capsule. You can go back and understand how life originated, how it thrived. Also, these microbial populations, they're dead now, but this is what they've left behind. These were responsible for the oxygen in the atmosphere that you and I take granted for today. But back then, there was very little oxygen. And so over time, it was the prevalence of these microbial populations that enabled the oxygen concentrations to grow into appreciable amounts.
Yes. Now, what's putting off the young people from choosing geology? Is it because they associate it with only mining? Or, you know, because what you just told me is really so exciting. And we've said before on The Science Show, if you're interested in geology, you can be concerned about the coastline. Wonderful and absolutely vital. You can do what David Flannery does at QUT, which is run the Mars Explorer and tell NASA where to go next with the little machine. I mean, it's so exciting. Why aren't they?
Well, so it's not like geology had thousands of people and students flocking back in the days. You've got to be on the spectrum somewhere in the geology spectrum to want to learn more. I hated geology in my first year, hated it with passion. There were too many terms that you're not introduced in high school, so it's a lot of information overload. It's an acquired taste. And so we've always had a small pool of students that develop that interest over time. It is fascinating. So, you know, I'm a converted, so there are lots of people who look at rocks right when they were like 2 years old or something. I don't have a story like that, and a lot of people don't. But then there are students who are really lured into the subject once they start to understand and able to visualize the geology and the concept of time scale, etc. There is, in the East Coast in particular, there is a negative connotation with mining because they read in the newspaper, and sure, all the bad stories should be out there. Good stories aren't out there as much. So I tried really hard in my first year to help them kind of balance it out. So we've had a small pool of people always interested in this field. We want that because they are the ones who are passionate about the field of geosciences. They're going to want to do great things when they've got the necessary training. What's happened now, because geoscience departments are shrinking, we are diluting the level and the content a bit.
May I ask you what you thought of Professor Chinnapati Jagadish talking in Canberra the other day?
Yeah, I was very pleased to have been there at the Shine Dome, but also it was very concerning to all the things he had to say. And I was very nice to see the top body in Australia acknowledge the skills gap in our geoscience capabilities. He specifically mentions, when the report was officially released, that there is a serious gap in our geoscience capability. But, you know, a lot of people have told me, you can't just win, you've got to come up with a solution. Well, here's the solution. He's given us the warning at the Australian Academy of Science event. In the next 10 years, things will go really haywire if we don't do something now. Well, let's do something now. We still have time. In the next 10 years, let's rejuvenate the geoscience departments in this country. We can do it. We already have them. And let's train the next generation of geoscientists. We have a fair number of students, Robin, but we have very, as he pointed out, Professor Jagadish, we need domestic students. So we want homegrown talent that we train to be able to cater to the needs of the future of this country. Right now, we have a student body, but a lot of them take the training and they will go back to their countries. We need the skills to remain in this country. And for that, domestic students is our best option. Domestic students, he clearly pointed out, not just in geoscience, but science in general, there's a huge decline.
May I just whinge to you about one of the things that gives me the abdabs every time I go out? If it's a short walk, I will find 10 cans, aluminium cans, lying there chucked away. If it's a long walk, there could be a sack full. And as Veena Sarajwala from your own university, a genius, understands, told me last night actually, because it's 5% of the energy to turn those cans back into the aluminium you can use. Yeah, 5% of the energy that you would otherwise use for the alumina, you know, getting it from the ore. Why aren't people more aware of this?
Yeah, and the same thing with zinc. I look at sediment-hosted zinc deposits. Zinc is 100% recyclable. We're only recycling 30%. Go figure. So that's another thing that we could be doing is maybe not need so much. You know, we keep saying, oh, critical elements and this and that. Well, maybe our demand should go down a bit. And maybe we could recycle. Yeah, that's exactly right. You can do it. Each one of us can do little things that can make a difference.
So, to the young people, study geology.
Oh, my gosh, please. Just do it. But, you know, we need to have the right environment for them to study as well. In the next 10 years, young students these days press for cash, whatever, they'll want to have a job at the end of their degree. This is a workforce, critical minerals workforce. There will be a huge demand. So if we can prepare them for that workforce, then they will enroll. But the problem is, Robin, we don't have a very good facility in place because we've shrunk over the years. And so the content is quite diluted. So if we can create the good, necessary environment for these students to take geoscience and then do something with it in 10 years' time. Because I can tell you one thing, that Donald Trump is not going to come and find the critical elements that he so confidently said that we'll have so much of it that we won't know what to do with it. I'd be very surprised to see what his plan is.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Robin. Appreciate your time.
Dr. Indrani Mukherjee, Senior Lecturer at the University of New South Wales, and I shall talk to the President of the Australian Academy of Science about that on the Science Show next week. By the way, you may recall the campaign we saw run from the Australian Museum and Macquarie University about 3 years ago on this very topic, and it was in the Science Show as well. Geologist for Australia.